Welcome to episode 13 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name's Pete Everett, and today I'm going to do another solo show, and we're going to look at the second most frequent question I get asked when we're working with clients on SEO. Now, firstly, please just let me apologize for the sound quality on this. My normal microphone isn't working, so I'm having to use a different one, and it's just not working the same way that I'd like it to, but we'll motor on through. So the second most popular question I get asked when we're working with clients is, how do you do keyword research and how do you apply those keywords to your website? Now, we did an episode a little while ago about the basics of on-page SEO, so I'm not really going to touch on those topics, but if you do want to know more about that, I believe that was episode 6, so go to peteeverett.com/006 and it will take you to an episode about the basics of on-page SEO. But here we're talking about actually finding keywords, knowing which the right keywords are from a whole host of data, and then applying those to your web content and to your website structure to give your website the best opportunities of ranking in Google for the keywords that you want to rank for. Now, when we're working with a client, this always starts with a discussion. And the discussion needs to revolve around, firstly, their business aims and objectives and what they're trying to achieve, but also around about their products, their services, what it is they're actually trying to sell or generate leads for. And largely, they're the two areas we work in. So in broad brushstrokes, the conversation goes something like this. Firstly, what do you do? What is it you actually do? And we try to move away from the sales speak, but put it in layman's terms. What is it you actually do? Is it you sell socks? Is it that you build cars? What is it that you actually do? We then start looking at their business goals and breaking down the products and services that they sell into a hierarchical order. So this is normally done in light of what actually makes you the most money. Or what are you trying to achieve from this exercise? Is it to maximize your revenue? Or is it to support those products or services that aren't performing so well so that you bring those in line with the products and services you're already selling that are selling so well? So where's the area that we can make the most impact? We then have a frank and brief discussion about who the client sees their competitors to be. And we try and break those down into the areas that we're now working in. So whether we've broken it into products or services or areas for business development or whatever it might be, we now start working in those verticals. The next part of the discussion is to understand the best types of customers for the client. Now, these normally are the clients that have the most money to spend, but we really want to drill down into who is it they are trying to target. Is it business owners? Is it marketing managers? Is it procurement managers? Are they based in a particular location? Are they global? Is there a particular personal profile that makes up this type of person? Are most of them female or male? Is it a sort of interim level job where people pass through it in their career development? Or are we looking at business owners and MDs or chief execs, jobs where people get into those positions and largely stay there for the rest of their career? Who are the client? Who are the decision makers that we are trying to target? Who is it ultimately that is going to be sitting at their computer and thinking about what they're going to type into Google and you want to show up? That's the question we're trying to get to. We then look at the competitors that the client has in each of these areas. And ultimately, we actually ask some of the same questions about, you know, what's the overlap between what you do and what the competitor does, i.e. are they a true competitor, or is there only an area of their business that overlaps with yours and then they actually do a load of other stuff as well? And from there, that gives us a really good base to start developing a keyword research document for our client. So to recap, what we've covered by this point and what we leave the client with is, full details of exactly what it is they do, who they are trying to target, as is in companies and the people within those companies that are the decision makers, and who they see their competitors to be. And once we've got that data, we can now go and start looking at some keyword research. Now, in order to do this, we use two tools regularly, and they are SEMrush and Google Keyword Planner. We also have a couple of other things that we do turn to get us going or to look at themes, and I'll cover those in a few moments. But really, those two places are the go-to resources that we use. And of course, we end up in spreadsheet hell for the first hour or two or three, but eventually we start to see a bit of clarity in some of the data that we're seeing. So the first things we do are we actually start with the competitors. So we can go and run through SEMrush reports on the organic keywords that each of their competitors are ranking for, and also the keywords that they are running AdWords for. And those keywords are really important, because if a competitor is willing to put their hand in their pocket and spend money on ranking for a keyword, then it's obviously quite important to them. And from this data, what we're really trying to ascertain in the first instance is, does this company actually know what they're doing? Have they got somebody like me that has already gone through and optimized their website and is running their AdWords? And can we trust that data to be accurate? So we end up with potentially two spreadsheets on each company, one for their organic listings and one for their paid listings. And we then go through those spreadsheets and we identify the keywords that relate to our client, but also the keywords that where we can see trends. So are there lots of how-tos, or do they word things in a particular way, or do they structure things from their blog to support service pages? So how are they using their keywords? Basically, so we know what we're up against. We then go and do a very similar process, but with the keywords that relate to the products or services that the client offers. Now, we have a bit of a daft example, which we say in these client meetings, and people always look at us a bit strange when we say it, but it does prove the point. If we're talking to a client and they make tables and they're wanting to sell tables and they're wanting inquiries from people who want custom-made tables, and you know it's a table and I know it's a table, but if the person searching on Google is calling it a panda, we need to rank for panda. Now, I know it's a completely absurd example, but the point of the example really is just to get it into people's head that we're not trying to rank for words that you want to rank for. We're trying to get exposure for your website under the eyes of people who are actually going to make the decisions and be interested in what you do. So therefore, it's kind of irrelevant what you call it. It's a bit like the whole adage about it doesn't matter if you like your website, as long as it appeals to the end user, the person that it's designed for. That's what really matters. And it's exactly the same with the keywords. We're not trying to rank you for the keywords that you want to rank for. We're trying to rank you for the keywords that are going to get you the best level inquiries and ultimately make you the most money. So when we get this data, there's a few fields in the spreadsheets or on the web pages that we're interested in. The first is obviously the keyword itself, and that one's kind of self-explanatory. Now, I should also say that a keyword isn't always a single word. In fact, the best keywords are normally a string of words put together, so a key phrase really, and they fall into two brackets. So you have short tail keywords, which are normally classed as keywords that are four words or less, and then long tail keywords that are five words or more. Normally, we're looking at short tail keywords when it comes to this. If we find any long tail keywords, we often make a note of them and we class those as blog topics or supporting content, and we just put those to one side for now. Normally, the short tail keywords are where we can find the most bang for your buck and where we can show you the most improvement in terms of traffic, but there's always a level of competition when it comes to this, so we need to be a little bit careful about what we're advising and be realistic with the client about how much work we think is going to be required in order to get you ranking well for a particular keyword. And of course, you may already be ranking for that keyword if it's very close to your business. You may not be in a great place. You know, you may be on page 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, so and so on. So, but you may already have some content that's ranking somewhere, and what do we need to do in order to improve that? So along with the keyword, the other data that we're bothered about really when it comes to this is how many searches per month there are in the, in our case it's normally in the UK, but in the chosen geographic that you're working in. How many searches are there per month? What is the competition level? Now that's normally done as a percentage. So how hard is it going to be for us to compete with the websites that are already ranking well for those key terms? And then we also look at the average cost per click should you want to run AdWords. Now the cost per click is the minimum cost to appear on page one. Nobody is going to give you the data as to how much you actually have to spend to be in top spot, because that's, firstly, that's changing all the time, and secondly, that's how Google makes its money. So they're just not going to release that data. But we do know how much you'd have to spend to appear at the bottom of page one. So it gives us a little bit of a flavor as to how competitive each keyword is. But it also gives us an idea of what the conversions are like from that keyword. So, you know, normally if somebody's paying for a keyword, they're only going to pay for things that are going to get feet through the door or orders into the order book. So those keywords where the average cost per click does start to increase gives us an idea that, right, people are putting some money behind that, so it really must work well for them in some way, shape or form. So we then look at the phrase match and the related keywords for all of the keywords that we've generated so far. So this is broadening our net a little bit. We're not going to use all of these keywords necessarily, but we end up with a relatively long list, quite a big spreadsheet of keywords that have come from our competitors, that have been based on our products and services, and then those keywords that are related to the ones that we have put in. So ultimately, we've got this big pool of data goodness that we now need to filter and to structure in such a way that it can become useful. So one of the first things we do is we go and filter out all the search terms that have under 100 searches per month in the search engines. Now, if you're starting out, you may not want to do that step because it does wipe out a whole load of keywords quite quickly. But from our point of view, as an agency delivering this for a client, we really need to not look at the small fish or the small fry and actually go for some mid to top weight hitting keywords. So we eliminate those keywords straight away. The second thing we then do is we then go and filter the list by the average cost per click, and we basically get rid of anything that's under a dollar or under 60, 65 pence in the UK. And again, if that's not something that you may want to do if you're starting out, but again, for the same reason, we need to be going for some of the higher level keywords. Now, when it comes to the filtering on the cost per click, we do take a look down the list that we're actually deleting to see if there is anything that we think, actually, no, that is quite important, or that is something that the client has asked for. And so there are maybe a few survivors from that process. But on the whole, they're the first two things we do to get the list down to a manageable kind of place. We then set up a brand new spreadsheet. And we, in column A, we put our primary keywords. Now, each primary keyword, we then try to buddy up with a handful of secondary level keywords. So these are keywords that the client may not necessarily want to rank for, or they may be a little bit left field. But the purpose of these keywords is to support the primary keywords, the ones we actually want to rank pages for quite nicely. And it gives us a little bit more freedom to generate and to advise on content with a few more tools in our arsenal. And those secondary level keywords, they go in column B. So in column A, you've got one keyword, and then in column B, you may have four or five keywords listed under it, and then we have a little gap, and then we have another keyword in column A, and three or four or five keywords next to that, and so it goes on. So we're buddying keywords together. That's what we're doing, primary and secondary level keywords. We then create another spreadsheet, which I've got a copy available on the website, so I'll drop a link to that in the show notes. But this is the actual mapping document for the website. So where we start with this spreadsheet is we firstly need a list of every page that you currently have on your website. So we use a tool called Screaming Frog. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes, but there are other tools online that will give you a full list of every URL on your website. And we filter that list down so that it doesn't include things like images or PDFs or anything like that, or redirects, but it is the genuine pages that there are on your website. And then we filter out some of the other pages like /news/2, which would be the second page of your news feed, for example. So we're left with a decent list of the actual pages that we can optimize. And then we go and map those keywords, the primary and secondary keywords, to that document. So ideally, you want the primary keywords to be somewhere in your navigation. And it may be that you already have an existing page that has history in Google that we can use to optimize. And that helps us a lot, rather than a new piece of content popping up and a client expecting it to be on page one within the first 2 or 3 weeks. We can say, you know what, you've got this page over here, it's currently not doing a lot, but actually if we modify it in this way and we look back at those basics of SEO, we can get that page ranking for this keyword quite nicely and we don't need to reinvent the wheel. And then once we've done that, we then have a list of keywords that we've not been able to map. So those keywords need new content writing, they need a home to live on your website. And we can then suggest the pages that we need to create from scratch that will be the home for those keywords. So hopefully that all makes sense and you're following me so far. The next bit of data is from the Screaming Frog export. We can then include the title and the H1 tags and the H2 tags and, well, all the H tags to be fair, from each page as well. So we can then look at the existing title and see how that relates to the keyword that we've mapped. We can then look at the H1 title and see how that relates to the keyword that we've mapped, and the H2s and so on. Now, we'd always recommend that you get the exact keyword in the title and the H1 and in the first 100 words or so of your body copy. But after that, we can start to be a little bit more creative, and that's where some of the secondary level keywords come in. On a side note when it comes to this, if we are using a secondary level keyword or we're using more than one keyword on a page, which is always a little bit dodgy, but sometimes it's necessary, then that second keyword also needs to appear in a heading, and you need to then class that subsection really as a little mini page on its own. So you need to optimize that block just like you would optimize the rest of the page. So we then go and optimize the titles and the headings, etc. And in our spreadsheet, we then insert columns, additional columns. So you'll have your existing title and then the new recommended title in the next column. And then you'll have your existing H1 and a new recommended H1 in the next column. So that the client can very clearly see what they've already got and how we've changed things based on the keywords that we've then mapped across. And then right at the other end, there's a column for notes, and we often put things in there like potential for image alt tags, or if we need to change the slug of the page and what the redirect needs to be, and all of that kind of stuff then goes in the notes. And when we're doing this, we often highlight the stuff that we've done in a red or a green type color, so that when the client comes in, they see all this data, they know that it's only the data in green that they're approving, for example. And basically, once we get client approval on that, then we go and apply those changes to the web page. We also go and put all of the keywords, primary and secondary level keywords, with different flags into SEMrush, so we can track where what our work has done in the search engines. And we then move on to essentially a content marketing type activity, which really needs to become a different podcast. But we look at the content, we look at the general content generation activity that the client goes under, the types of news that they're putting out, the types of videos or podcasts or whatever it might be, newsletters, how are they communicating with their customers and how can we maximize the content that they've got on their website, how can it be repurposed onto different platforms. Is there anything that we could do to build their list, to help with their email marketing? There's a whole host of things that then fall off this. There's also an element to do with link building, because yes, links are still important in SEO, no matter what anybody tells you, but they're becoming far harder to obtain. And we then start to put in place a whole content package that the client can see benefit from and that they can contribute to, as well as us providing it for them. So it really does become a collaborative effort, but it starts with this key piece of research. Now, the final thing I want to mention is that once you've done this process, that's not the end of the road. This process is something we go through with clients probably every 6 months. We'd certainly do it more than once a year. And the first time is always the biggest, and it is always the most in-depth, and there's always the most to change. But it is a really good process to get into the review, refine, repeat mentality of good keyword research. And it really can help you. You know, things change over time. Your business changes over time. Your goals change over time. We achieve things and then we want to move on to the next level. And it is exactly the same in business. And therefore, your SEO process or your keyword mapping process needs to reflect that. And that's basically how it's done. As I say, I've got links to all of the things that we've mentioned and a download on the website for the keyword mapping document. Show notes for this episode can be found on peteeverett.com/013. And if you've got any questions, please come and join us in our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group. And I'd be more than delighted to have a chat with you and answer any questions that you've got on how we do things and how we could help you with your own SEO as well. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I'll speak to you soon.